Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous 52nd birthday party. My name is Michelle, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your moderator for today's panel. Hi. Let us begin with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Are there any newcomers or members in their first 30 days? Hi. If so, please stand and introduce yourself so we may welcome you. Hi, Kim. Welcome. Any other newcomers or anyone in their first 30 days? Okay. In the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 133, it states, "We are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it once was just that way for many of us. But it is clear that we made our own misery. God didn't do it. Avoid, then, the deliberate manufacture of misery, but if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate His omnipotence. Sorry. Now about health. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful health restorative. We who have recovered from serious drinking are miracles of mental health, but we have seen remarkable transformations in our bodies. We are honored to have these members of OA who are willing to share their experience, strength, and hope. Each person will speak for 15 minutes, then we will have time for questions and answers. There's an Ask It basket going around the room. Please jot down your questions so they can be addressed by our panel members during the Q&A. And the Ask It basket is right here in the front. So I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Holly G.
Hi, I'm Holly, compulsive overeater. Gotta raise this up here. Okay, all right. Take a breath. This is a great privilege and an honor to be asked to speak here, and I'm really glad that I was asked to speak on this topic because my story includes, you know, quite a large weight loss. And I'll qualify in a minute. And I'm just, you know, I like to be able to speak on something that I have the experience in, that I don't have to get tremendously nervous before I speak, which is a nice thing. But although right this minute, I'm tremendously nervous. So, you know, it's going to be okay. This is a normal thing for me to get nervous. And I think, you know what, I think that's a really good thing because I always feel like it's an honor to speak. And be of service to my fellows. I'll give you a little quick background, and then I'll tell you what I do today, because this is about action. This, yep. Got it. Right? Better? Okay. Okay, thanks. So, you know, I came into program the first time in 1993-1994, and I was... You know, I lived my adult life anywhere between 240 and 280 pounds. I would get up to 280, I'd get really uncomfortable, and then I would die. I'd find something to do, find some kind of magazine. I never spent any money on diets, really, maybe a little, but I'd either go to Weight Watchers, I'd do something. I'd pick something different every time. I'd diet my way down to 240, and I would... Then it would last about 5 or 6 minutes, and I would go right back up to 280. So I didn't have, I was never at a healthy body weight since I was an adult. I was never at anything close to a healthy body weight. A couple of times I remember getting to the 200 mark, or just slightly below. And like I said, that never lasted more than a week or so. I mean, it didn't work. My weight never worked. So I didn't have any experience being a healthy body weight. So I came in 1993, 1994. I stayed for a little, I probably stayed about 3 or 4 years, but I really didn't work the program. I just came, I sat, I came and I sat, and I didn't talk much, and I just came and sat, okay? I was here. I was here, but I wasn't here. I was here and I didn't do any work. Didn't get a sponsor, didn't pick up literature, I just showed up. And you know what? That gave me one thing. It gave me an abstinence of 3 meals a day and no sugar. I knew. Three meals a day and no sugar was a good abstinence for me. And about 3 years in, I got into a relationship and I left the program. I continued to work some other program, but I didn't stay here. Okay, I left for 8 years. And then when I came back in August of 2002, 280 pounds, like I said, I think that's my top weight, not sure, but probably close to it. I was not any bigger, not any smaller than any other time, but I was so demoralized and so dead inside that I knew that something had to change. And I decided to give Overeaters Anonymous just one more try. I didn't have, when I walked in, I was done, like I say. There was no feeling going on at all. I just felt awful. So I came in, and you know, I decided to do everything differently, which was a really good idea at that point, different from what I had before. And, you know, I walked into a meeting in the Valley. I'm from the San Fernando Valley. I walked into a meeting and, you know, you people look different than you did the first time, okay? I got people coming up to me. I got smiles. I got welcomes. And what that taught me is that I get to do that now today with newcomers. All right, that's what it taught me. I felt a lot better. I came in and just started to go to meetings, and you know, I had a sponsor within a month. Who knew that? But I did. I had a sponsor within a month because the first thing I heard was, you got to get a sponsor. So to try to describe what it felt like at that point, even in the first month or the first 2 months, was that I did not have any inkling that I would ever be a healthy body weight. That was not in my consciousness whatsoever. I didn't have that experience. What I hoped for was just to feel better, just to stop eating and feel better. And I thought too, well, a couple of times I got down to 200, maybe I can get down to 200. But that was just fleeting. It didn't even stick in there. All I did was I started coming to program. And I was working the steps with a sponsor. Within about 2 months, I got on a food plan. I asked her for help with my food. Okay, so September 28th, 2002 is my first day of abstinence, and I count that by the first day I called a sponsor. I was in about a month before. First day I called a sponsor and honestly told her, the best of my ability, honestly told her what I was going to eat that day. Okay, that's my first day of abstinence. And my abstinence is the same, 3 meals a day, no sugar. That works for me. But you know, we created a food plan. She was a 100-pounder too. We created a food plan that started to work. Now, I wasn't even concentrating on that, but I knew that giving my food over to somebody was just that first bit of surrender. Just, here's what I'm eating. And she said, if you change, call me. If you change, there's no texting then. I had to call her, so, you know, and I did that. I'm really amazed I did that. If I changed anything, I called her. And, you know, I started on this path, okay? I was working the steps, working a food plan. It was trial and error, and, you know, within the first 6 months, I actually started to lose weight. And it was just slow and steady, and I weighed once a month. It was just a slow and steady loss. But in that time, what I was doing was all the actions of a person in program. She got me right into service really quickly and in a big way. And working the steps, going to meetings, doing all that other stuff, into the literature, and just daily calls. I mean, it was nothing unusual. But what happened was, you know, I kept doing that, and I kept going through the steps, and it took me about 2.5 years until I got to actually I went down a little bit too far, but it was, who knew that? I mean, I just kept going, but to an unhealthy low weight. So then I changed sponsors at that point, not because of that, but I changed sponsors. And the sponsor, we changed how I was doing my food so I could get to a healthy body weight. And, you know, like I said, I really, in every day I was amazed. Every day I was amazed that I would scare myself in the mirror. I would walk by and just, you know, glance and, you know, it was really kind of, all the little things that we go through, a person that's 280 pounds for all her life, and then at a healthy weight, a regular sized person's weight, there's, in between that time, there's a million things that go on. But what I got, and they're scary, some of them are scary, okay? But what I got to do is I got to ask you guys, how did you do that? Will you go with me? Shopping, oh my God. Clothes shopping, oh my God. Don't ever go alone. at least for me, you should have seen it. It was hysterical. I was spinning. I'm like this going around. What section am I supposed to be in? You know, I always went to Lane Bryant. I walk into Lane Bryant. The last time I walked into Catherine's, that's like a Lane Bryant, by the way. Last time I walked in, I was looking for something, for some event. I walked into Catherine's, and I just went right around. I'm going, I can't shop here anymore. Like, I did not know what to do. I'd never been in a healthy weight. So when I got to a healthy weight, like I said, I had to learn everything new. Everything was new. I had to learn everything from people in program that were at a healthy body weight. And I still do that. I am not a fashion plate, okay? As you can see by my fish shirt. I'm going to tell you right now, my sponsees hate this shirt. They're like, oh, she's got that shirt on again. You know? I wear it because I like it. So tough. Anyway, I'm not a fashion plate, but, you know, I took people with me the first time I had to buy. I lied just now. I took people with me the second time I had to buy a bathing suit. The first time I went by myself. Don't ever try that, okay? But I took people with me when I was at a regular weight and I had to buy a bathing suit. I don't know how to do that. So I took somebody, I literally took somebody with me. A person I trust with my life went with me. And that's how I do it. That's the action. If I'm scared of something, I take somebody. I just grab somebody. I have a network of people that cover everything in my program. But that takes a while to build. You know what I mean? So by working the tools, by the things that I do every day, I go to meetings, I go early, and I talk to people. Get my seat. I stay late, talk to people. This is not me, by the way, people. No. I was extremely shy when I first came in. But what if that comes out of my mouth, like I'm talking to my sponsor. My sponsor is at a healthy body weight. And by the way, if I need any help for clothes type of things, I ask her now. I have a sponsor that I really trust. That's essential to me. Okay. I lost my train of thought, obviously, so never mind. So what actions do I take today to maintain a healthy body weight? I guess that's the topic. Well, the stuff like the food, you know, I have a food plan. I have a food plan that has developed over the years. I'm very, very, very comfortable with it now. This is 9.5 years later. I've had the same food plan for probably the last 5 years, and it's helped me maintain a healthy weight. I weigh once a week, and I check it in with my sponsor. When I weigh, I have a range of weight, and I only look at a trend, like a little going up trend or a little going down trend. That's the only time I change, and it's got to be 4 or 5 weeks in a row. Nothing is drastic. I pretty much stay just the same. All right, I weigh right around 140 pounds, 140, 141 every single week. And I eat to maintain that weight. And I exercise to maintain that weight. What I do maintains that weight. So that part of it, being in a healthy way, that's out of the way now. I know how to do that. I just follow the food plan. I email my food to my sponsor the night before. I weigh once a week. That's it. That's all I need to worry about with the food. The rest of it, the other parts of the program, the spiritual connection and the emotional stuff, that's what I work on with my sponsor. Right now, I've been through the steps, I think, 3 times with different people, and I just finished a pass through the steps on just the last couple of years. Maybe I finished about 6 months ago. What I do with my sponsors, we're working on some, you know, in the big book with the doctor's opinion and Dr. Tybo, what we're working on is the work with the ego and surrender versus compliance. That's what my sponsor and I are working on right now. We've been through the first 165 pages of the big book. Is it 4 or 5? I'm not sure. I forgot. We've been through that. Okay. We've been through that, and now we're working on this other thing. We've been through the traditions, too. So with the sponsor now, we're just working on different things. I also work another program, and I'm working on a thorough inventory on that program. So it's like I do this stuff, okay? What I do on a daily basis is that I get up really early, and I do my meditation books. I meditate now 15 minutes. That's a gift. That's a gift of this program, is my meditation. I don't know where I would be without that, really. That to me is graduate school, to be able to meditate. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not always quiet up here. In fact, sometimes I only get 2 or 3 minutes out of that 15 that's quiet, but that's okay. I meditate for 15 minutes and get my spiritual connection with God, and then I do writing, and then I get ready for work and take my sponsee calls, do some exercise, and I go to work. So I have a full... You know, I have a full work day. I go to most of my meetings at night and on the weekends. I always go very steady at 4 meetings a week, and then I'll pop in an extra if I need to or if I'm asked to speak somewhere else. So 4 meetings a week, and I talk to my sponsor 5 days a week. That's what I do to maintain my program, to maintain what I think is a healthy body weight now, and it helps my emotional recovery, too, because, you know, now I get to pass this along to other people. I have sponsees that are 100-pounders also, and what I can do is I can say, well, this is what happened to me, and make it comfortable for them to talk to me about these things that come up, because these things that come up from, you know, from being a 100-pounder, they're not comfortable, okay? They're really not. What I do today, you know, I have wreckage. My body has wreckage, and I've learned how to dress so I'm not uncomfortable, all right? To make things any more smooth would take surgery on me. Right now, I'm not so uncomfortable with it. I'm okay with it. That may change at some point. Right now, I'm okay. If it changes, I'll have to do some work around it. You know, I know a lot of 100-pounders get surgery, but... for the extra skin that's there, but right now I'm okay, and I'm just going to go with that. You know what I mean? It's only an issue once in a while. It's a little uncomfortable once in a while. I've kind of learned how to dress to it, and I've learned how to deal with it. I've also learned how to talk about it, because I think that's the most important. I think we're all uncomfortable at different times, and it's when I hear somebody at the podium share something that I'm uncomfortable with, it opens me up to be able to go talk to them. That's I think, the we of the program. Because, you know, if we look at this room, who's in this room, everybody's got different experience. So that's really important that I talk, okay, and that I'm able to talk, and I'm able to talk to you and listen to you. So that's basically how I maintain a healthy body weight and what it feels like to be a healthy body weight. Now, it still surprises me a lot of days that this is where I stand. My family's back east, and I see them about once a year. Okay, so I lost my weight, and then I lost my weight, and then I saw them, and they're like, it's like the shock and awe happens, and that is a little bit disconcerting. Now they just look at me like, okay, she's still the same, because they're 100-pounders too, and they kind of just stay there, or they go the yo-yo thing. And I've just been very steady about it. Thanks, Sandy. So, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I just, you know, I work my program. This program is my life. I'm glad to pass it along. And I could not be more grateful for you guys and for being here today and for everything that, you know, I've developed, you know, along the years. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Holly. I'd now like to introduce Martha J. from Portland.
Where to put my water? Hi, I'm Martha, recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm abstinent today through the grace of God, the fellowship of the program. And I really mean that. I say that probably every single day of my life and every single time I introduce myself at an OA meeting. I say that I am abstinent today through the grace of God and the fellowship of the program. I've been in the program for 37 years. I've been abstaining from compulsive overeating one day at a time for 35 years. Again, through the grace of God and the fellowship of the program, left to my own will, I would be eating. There is no way I could stay out of a bag, a bucket, or a bin without the grace of God and the fellowship of the program. I cannot do this myself. 35 years of abstinence, and I still believe I am one bite away. And, you know, that is a good thing for me to know that I am one, by the way, because I don't feel complacent. The topic is how are we maintaining, or what are the actions to maintain a healthy body weight? And, you know, I have to be honest and say it's a little bit of an unusual, sensitive topic for me, and I've never spoken about this before, and I don't actually give it that much thought. I came into the program when I was 24 years old, and I lost 50, 60, 70 pounds, I don't know how much it was, within my first 2 years of program. And so I have been maintaining a healthy body weight for 35 years. The actions that I take to do that are the actions that I take every day anyway, so to speak. I mean, I'm not focused on maintaining a healthy body weight. I'm focused on being abstinent today no matter what. I don't eat no matter what. No matter what, I don't eat. I don't eat no matter what, compulsively overeating. I don't eat no matter what, I don't eat. And that is my focus for today, this set of 24 hours, and every single day. So maintaining a clear and clean and focused, let me step back a bit. There's abstinence and there's food plan. Our food plan is a tool. Our abstinence is a commitment on a daily basis to, however you want to phrase it, sane eating, a spiritual way of life, a commitment to a spiritual way of life as manifested by abstaining from crazy eating. So my commitment on a daily basis is to abstain. And in order to facilitate that, I need to have a clear, clean, rigorously honest food plan to the best of my ability within the context of the day. To the best of my ability within the context of the day. So the example I used to give of that, which I think has dramatically changed, but I haven't been to England in a long time, is the first time I went to England, there were no salads. There were no salads. There was no lettuce. So, you know, what am I going to do? My lunch is 2 cups of salad, you know. So I had to do the best I could within the context of today. I had to do the best I could within the context of the day this morning at breakfast as I ate 2 hard-boiled eggs. I do the best I can within each day to make the cleanest, most rigorously honest decision I can. And that would be the same action that I would do whether or not I was trying to lose weight or, you know, whether I was, quote, fat. When I was fat, I needed to do the same things, commitment on a daily basis to an appropriate food plan that would facilitate sanity, and commitment to abstinence and taking the actions on a daily basis that it takes to maintain an abstinent way of life. Our speaker last night talked about, the daily vigilance to the way of life. And that's what I do to maintain a healthy body weight, is daily vigilance with the tools and the steps of the 12-step program every day. I too kind of look at trends. Well, first of all, I don't weigh. I have never weighed. Weighing does not work for me. I wish it did. I wish I could hop on the scale every day to know if I was a good person. But it has never worked for me. I don't know what I weigh. I won't weigh at the doctor. In fact, I went in for a bone scan a couple weeks ago, and the gal needs to know how much you weigh for bone scan, Dealey Duber, and I didn't know. And she said, well, you probably weigh about blah, blah, blah. And she said a number, and I was like, is that good or is that bad? And I spent the whole rest of the day, oh, my God, is that number okay? Is that number good? Is that number bad? I get really worked up by the number. So I don't weigh, but I do look at general trends. So, you know, if my clothes are starting to get tight, then I have to, I need to take a look at my food plan. I need to kind of maybe reevaluate, tighten things up, clean things up a little bit. But I don't get real wigged out about it. Abstinence stays the same. Abstinence is a commitment. Food plans do change and evolve as we go through different phases of life. And one thing that I haven't heard mentioned yet here, and Holly talked about some of the, you know, the uncomfortable things, and I guess sort of the aging piece. I'm 60 years old now. I've been in the program since I was 24 years old, and a lot of things have changed on my body. And, there isn't a darn thing I can do about it other than be cleanly abstinent today. There isn't anything I could do. I see there's some guys in the room, so I guess I can't go through my boob jokes. But, I mean, it has been a... I think I'll pass. It has been a strange evolution of aging and waking up one day and certain things are in different places and have reconfigured into different sizes. And my body has changed a lot. I'm not the 24-year-old, you know, sex pot that I was, striding around the streets of Chicago. Hey, I'm thin for the first time in my life. There are those pieces. And I really can't focus on the weight. I focus on, you know, spiritual, emotional, and physical health. Would I like to be thinner? Yes. Would I love to go on a diet? Yes. Am I capable of going on a diet? No way. Can I will myself thinner or figure out a way to get thinner? No, not really. I can really only do the best I can today to make the best decision I can within the context of the day. And, you know, taking the action and the higher power determines the results. Sort of weight and size, I see that as a spiritual component. I do have exercise in my life, which is kind of a neat thing, and I'm in there for the health. I am absolutely not in there for weight loss. In fact, you know, when I started up exercising about 10 years ago, I, of course, lost a little weight. And what do I want to do about that? Eat. Yeah, I mean, my mind wouldn't say, oh, you know, how wonderful, you're doing something great, you know, keep to it, blah, blah. It's like, I've lost some weight, I want to eat. Give me more food, more. I mean, I still have those types of crazy crazy reactions. So I really, I don't focus on that. I focus on the actions that I've always focused on for 35 years. Abstinence today, no matter what, a food plan, sponsoring, working the steps to the best of my ability, meetings, going to any lengths to be abstinent, flying down to the birthday party from Portland, Oregon to get all this wonderful California energy. Kind of whatever happens, happens with my body. And again, sort of the whole menopause aging thing is a phenomenon of its own and kind of has life of its own. So I'm just happy to be free from the bondage of compulsive overeating. That is my focus on a daily basis, to be abstinent and to enjoy the freedom of not being in bondage to food. And you know, whatever it takes to facilitate that, encourage that, and validate that. And 5 minutes. Okay. I guess, you know, for me now, even as it was in the beginning, you know, if I focus on weight loss and if I focus on I got to do better, I got to do this, I got to do that, it doesn't work. It will just backfire. I can only, you know, take the actions that will hopefully provide willingness to make a change. And we've been talking about this a little bit one-on-one, you know, how to get the willingness to make a change, to maybe say, hey, I need to tighten up my food plan a little bit, or I'm getting a little sloppy, I need to rein it in. You know, I can't get the willingness to do that on my own. I have to talk it over with people. I have to admit it. I have to get it out, get it out. I have to talk about it, write about it, read about it, pray about it, talk about it, talk about it. And, you know, the willingness will usually come if I need, you know, to make a change. But again, my commitment is to be abstinent today, no matter what, doing the very best I can within the context of each day. You know, health has come to me as a gift of the program. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. I want to talk a little bit more about the exercise piece for people who, you know, don't want to do that. I mean, exercise has really not been something I've embraced or embraced very readily because I have some physical impairments, and it's been very, very difficult to exercise. So 10 years ago, I did a really courageous thing, and I dare you who are hesitating to exercise, I dare you to try this. Go in and exercise for 3 minutes. You know, get on the elliptical trainer or the recumbent bike or whatever. For 3 minutes, get off and leave. And that's how I started into exercise. 3 minutes. And if that doesn't take guts, I don't know what does. It's easy to go in and overdo it. Very easy to go in and overdo it. But try going in and getting on it for 3 minutes and leaving, and the whole gym is watching you leave after 3 minutes. No, they're not. They could care less. But they're like, and that's what I did. And I'm so proud of that because that was such a courageous thing to do. So 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, slowly, slowly, slowly. And now I'm working with a 24-year-old personal trainer. And it's just so neat. She knows my boundaries. Do not bring up food. Do not bring up weight. Don't say a thing to me about anything. We're focusing on the personal training. And it's really amazing. I mean, my goal is to be fit, be healthy. I go 5 days a week to the gym. I'm a little gym rat, I guess, or that's kind of a derogatory thing. What could it be? It's a little gym kitten or something. And and I've got a personal trainer. So anyway, it's so amazing how our OA life evolves. And again, I'm very grateful to have this program in my life, to walk the spiritual path, powerless over food, surrendering to the care of a higher power. We were talking a little bit, chatting at the other workshop about, you know, God's will. What is God's will? And for me, I feel very lucky that, you know, I've felt for decades early on that God's will for me was to be abstinent. So that is the one thing about God's will for me that that I know, that my will would be to be eating right now, every minute, over everything. There's always a reason to eat. God's will for me is to abstain. So if I'm going to pray for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out, it's very clearly to abstain today. And I'm, as I learned, I get to call myself an opinionated old-timer, or long-timer, old-timer, an opinionated old-timer. So as an opinionated old-timer, I get to say that, you know, if I do nothing else today but be abstinent, it's a good day. And, you know, I believe in that, and I live by that, and all I want for today is to be abstinent from compulsive overeating. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. I'd now like to introduce Dave B. from San Diego.
Hi, my name's Dave. I'm a compulsive overeater. And if you're not going to talk about what you were going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about my 67-year-old dysfunctional penis, so I'll leave that out of here. Yeah. Okay. And I can only share my experience, strength, and hope, and that is that I came to Overeaters Anonymous on August the 17th, 1976, and I weighed over 300 pounds, and my affirmation, my nickname was Porky. And I would say, well, that's at the price of pork, that's a compliment, you know. If I made, you know, a big joke out of my obesity, and my affirmation was, I'm just fat, dumb, stupid, and ugly. And I came in the program, and people like you said, Dave, that's, you know, subconscious mind can't take a joke. You know, I said, well, that's just a joke. And he said, well, the subconscious mind can't take a joke. You got to quit saying things like that about yourself. And those people saved my life. And what happened to me was my name at birth was Robert Lee Henderson. That's what it says on my adoption papers. And a man, Albert and Dorothy Burge, adopted me, and I was cross-eyed. And they, my mother loved me so much that she could have had any one of those other kids that, you know, probably weren't cross-eyed, and they took me and spent a whole lot of money getting an eye operation for me. So there's no doubt in my mind that my mother loved me. I know that my mother, until she died, I was the number one person in her life. She couldn't see or hear when she passed away, but when I would come into her room, and she'd had several strokes, and she'd say, who's here? And the nurse would say, David is here. She'd go, oh, David. She'd clap her hands, you know. So I'm very fortunate to have a mother like that. And when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't like my mother. I didn't appreciate her and everything. And sponsors and people like you taught me to appreciate my mother, and I got to pay her back for all the things she did for me. So that's just one of the bonuses of being in this program. And so my parents fought all the time until that I can remember, and went in the other room and slammed the door until I was 15 when they divorced. And of course, being thinking of myself as a teenager, as being and a young fella, being a mistake that wasn't supposed to happen, I blamed that on me too until I came in here. And people like you helped me with that, sponsors. And I took some notes down, so I'll refer to my notes every once in a while. And so I started on a regimen of, when I was 20 years old, of going to the diet pills. When I was 21, I went to Dr. Stanley C. Gilbert in Azusa, and he was God, because you got in line and you paid your money and you got your pills and your shot, and you could eat anything you want, but you didn't want to because the pills kept you from eating. And that stuff was called speed. And that's when all my hair fell out. And I was a good-looking fella. And I lost all my weight and came back home. And there was a girl that I used to dream about in the pool hall named Judy Rudinsky. And I always dreamed that someday, as a big fat guy I was, someday she would throw her arms around me and tell me how great I was. And when she did that, I didn't know what to say. So I went down to 7-Eleven, and you know what I did. Started eating and gained all my weight back. And then I came down and saw my mother, and she says, how did you lose all that weight? I said, I went to this doctor, and he gives me the pill. She says, you know, and mother is always right. She said, well, you know, that's not good for you. That really pissed me off. You know, I said, well, thanks for the support, Mom. So, and then there's a myriad of things I tried to do to lose weight. And I'll check my time here. I eventually ended up going to my doctor at Kaiser Permanente and telling her for the second time. I'd go there, Dr. Mary Janian, a doctor of internal medicine, and she would say, go on this food plan, follow the food plan, see me in a month. And I'd come back and I'd lose weight, and she'd say, you're doing great, you know. And she'd weigh me and the whole thing. And then I'd go to work, and it was Christmas time, and the guy said, look, Burge, men don't call each other by the, you know, we weren't on a first name basis. He said, look, you lost all that weight. For God's sakes, it's Christmas. You got all this food here. And of course, I was being compulsory. I said, well, you know, I guess I could eat some of that, and I'll go back on my diet Monday, you know. So 10 minutes, good. So thank you. So I came back to Dr. Mary Janian, and every 5 years or so, I gained 20 more pounds. So I got up over 300 pounds, and I go back to her and I said, well, your diet didn't work, you know. And she'd say, well, it will if you use a little willpower. And so the second time I came back to her, I said, you know, there's something wrong with me, you know. I think there's something psychologically wrong with me because I can't stop eating. And she says, well, probably. I said, what about one of these, they just came out with a wonderful stomach bypass surgery thing. And I said, what about, somebody told me about this. How about, can I have one of those things? And she goes, no, at that time, I didn't have high blood pressure. I wasn't diabetic. I wasn't any of those things. She says, you're not sick enough, you know. But she says, you could go to either Weight Watchers or Overeaters Anonymous. I said, what's the difference? She says, I don't know anything about it. The only thing I know is Weight Watchers cost money and Overeaters Anonymous doesn't. Guess why I came here? If you don't have any self-esteem, then you're not going to spend any money on yourself. So that's how I got to OA. And when I came here, I slept with the lights on because I was scared of the dark. I wouldn't tell a soul any of these things. I lived with many things that I was ashamed of and wouldn't tell anybody. And I had a gun, and I kept it by my nightstand because I was afraid. I was afraid to use it, and I was afraid not to have it. It was crazy. And anyway, I finally got a male sponsor after having I went on the gray sheet, lost all my weight. I lost too much weight. I didn't know, being a chronically obese man, I didn't know what I was supposed to weigh. The scale said if you're 5'8", you should weigh 155 pounds. That's insane for somebody like me. And I got down to 170 pounds, and people said, stop it, you know. So then I asked my girlfriend who was in the program, I said, gee, Chris, do you think I should lose some more weight? Yeah, she could lose a few pounds. That was insane, you know. So I ended up, going back out and gaining some weight. And I finally got, I decided, well, I've been abstaining for a long time, and, I'm divorced. My wife divorced me, and my divorce papers said, respondent suffered severe personality change as a result of the program of Overeaters Anonymous. Quote, unquote. That's almost verbatim. And my sponsor, I finally got a male sponsor, and he said, thank God you suffered a personality change as a result of being in the program of Overeaters Anonymous. But then he started to help me. I needed somebody to help me do all this writing and stuff because I wasn't willing to do it on my own. And he told me that my problem was that I wouldn't know a feeling if it hit me in the windshield. And I said, what does that mean? I mean, a lot of us men wouldn't know a feeling if it hit us in the windshield. And so he helped me, and a lot of other people did, identify my feelings and become aware of my feelings, identify them, and free myself by sharing them with somebody I trust. And they used to call that $25,000 worth of psychiatric treatment for nothing when I came in the program. I haven't heard that in a while. But I believe that's exactly what it is. Anyway, my way back was I started a step study, and because I needed a step study. I wouldn't read the book by myself, so that in 1999 I started a step study meeting at our Oasis down in San Diego, and I go to that every Saturday, and I belong to a men's group, and I go to the men's retreat. So, when I came in the program, what we used to do, what I learned to do when I first came in was to, in 1976, weigh and measure your food, have a food plan, and my little doctor, 28-year-old doctor now, that I went to, she knows I'm in OA, she says, and, Dave, don't eat anything with a barcode on it. I never heard that before. And talk to somebody almost every day. I have a sponsor, and I talk to him and tell him about, and he tells me what we're eating today, because I'm a liar, and I write it down. It's wonderful to look back 2 years in my little calendar and see what I was eating on January the 20th, and if there's something on it that's not on it today, I need to pray and ask God to remove it. Because it says in chapter 5 that no human power could relieve my compulsive overeating. Thank you. That God could and would if he was sought. And that's what happened to me through, I think, going through the second step a bunch of times in the AA 12 and 12, I finally began to see the roadblocks of indifference I had and the religious indifference I had and all the things I had about having a higher power that was there to comfort me, love me, and give me the liberation and strength from the obsession of overeating. And that's what removed it from me, and it's been removed for the last few years by the grace of God. I don't want to portray myself as anybody that I walked in the door and, my golly, I just fell on my knees and surrendered. I was laying on the floor in my sponsor's house crying when I took the third step. And he said, "Are you ready to let go of that crap?" And I was. And it's been better ever since. I also agree with the previous speaker that my sponsor, I was... Exercise is so much a part of my program, almost as much as my abstinence, because I'm 67 years old and I have a heart and lungs and I need to take care of that too. And my sponsor used to say, "Yeah, I thought about exercising, but I lay down on the couch till the thought goes away." And since then, and I admire him very much, I call him up every year and thank him for what he did for me. And he doesn't like being in the OA program. He's in the AA program, and he thinks the OA program is kind of silly. I don't. But he tells me, he says, "I have trouble with this food. Just don't make me go to an OA meeting." I said, "I'm not going to make you go anywhere. I love you, But it's here. It's here if you ever want it." So the happy, joyous, and free for me is to wake up every morning and feel alive and to have an affirmation that I accept myself today as a valuable man. And I don't hang around the people I used to hang around with. I don't hang around with people that's not excited about my life as I am. And so that leaves a lot of folks out. And that's good, because the people that I hang around with respect me and admire me. That's a long ways for me to come from Porky in the shop that used to lay down on the table and people would bet how much I could eat and then lay on the table and they'd put a funnel in my mouth, pour Coke down it. But I got attention. I don't want that kind of attention anymore. So, I'm really, the other thing I do is Jack Z took me to my first intergroup meeting, I think probably the first year I was in the program, and he said, "What did you think about that?" I said, "It's enough to make you want to eat." Since then, I can say that the reason that I've been so successful in my work and the work that I've done is because I volunteered to be the chairperson of the intergroup, and I learned how to be tolerant, and I learned how to be a leader from people like you, from doing service, and I'm the treasurer of the intergroup now for the second time. Something that I don't really like doing, but it's the best thing I ever do, because it keeps me involved with the fellowship and I'm part of what's making things work in Overeaters Anonymous in San Diego. So like the 12 and 12 says all the way through it, I need something to give purpose to my life. I have a purpose to my life now, and it's Overeaters Anonymous and helping somebody recover and coming here and sharing what I have with you. And it's my story, and that's all it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. It's now time for the questions and answers. The first question is, the physical wreckage of the past can be discouraging. How do you cope with comparison and comments from normies when they notice the skin, stretch marks, etc.? Who would like to answer that one? Holly? I'll read it again. The physical wreckage of the past can be discouraging. How do you cope with comparison and comments from normies when they notice the skin, stretch marks, etc.?
Can't shut me up. Dave, compulsive overeater, once again.
Okay.
Abstinent by the grace of God. I went to a retreat, and there was a guy named Don R. I don't think he's involved anymore, but... I went to a meeting and everybody had these little badges on and it said MYOB. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, it means to mind your own business. And I said, what in the world does that mean? It says, what anybody thinks about you or says about you is none of your business. Why is this thing going off? I turned it off. Sorry about that. Oh, that means the timer went off, says I'm done speaking. It works. And so I think that's the greatest thing that I ever heard is about when anybody thinks about me or says about me is none of my business. And I was a big guy, and I've learned over the years to like I said it I think at the end of my talk is. I don't hang out with people that belittle me or and I don't care who it is, family members or who it is. You know, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. There's too many people around this program that will love you and accept you just the way you are. So, and I think it takes time to get over that, especially if you're somebody that's been ridiculed all your life. And, you know, I was part of the ridiculing. I allowed it to happen. I accepted it. I don't accept it anymore. I don't know. I hope that helps.
Okay. The next question. I lost weight in program when I first got here, but haven't gone down since then. I want to do a commercial diet plan as my food plan. What do you think? I'll read it again. I lost weight in program when I first got here, but haven't gone down since then. I want to do a commercial diet plan as my food plan. What do you think?
Let's see. What I can say is, in my personal experience, is that if at a point where I stopped losing weight, I would have to change something in my food plan if I wasn't at a healthy body weight. Basically, you know, the goal is here to have a healthy body weight. So to do a commercial diet plan, you know, that works for a lot of people. And I have... sponsees that use the points plan, and it works perfectly for them. I happen to use calories. That works perfectly for me. So I don't think it's the actual, if it's a commercial diet plan or food plan, it's a matter of what food plan works, and you're able to use the food plan that works because you're working the steps. I think that's the key to it. So there. Okay.
I guess for me, I would really encourage that person to talk it over with their sponsor. Talk it over with their sponsor, maybe take a look at their food plan. But I guess the piece that I'm responding to is in my experience, if I were to be able to even go on a commercial diet plan or go on a diet, then what's going to happen when I go off the diet? And there's a huge difference for me between a diet and a food plan. I'm on a food plan that I'm committed to, but if I were to go on a diet, then I have to go off a diet. And I don't know how I would be able to really handle that. Each day has to be, for me, its own balanced entity. It's hard to explain. I know I could not go on a diet. I wish I could go on a diet because I'd love to lose more weight and get thinner, thinner, thinner. But if I were to go on a diet, I do not know how the hell I would transition back to sort of a sane spiritual path of eating. That would be for me. I mean, I could go on a diet for 5 minutes at this point in my life, and that would be about it. I have to look at food in a different way. I have to look at the spiritual, emotional, and physical aspects of my life if I'm going to make food changes.
These two questions are similar, so I'm going to read both. How do you know you're at a healthy body weight? That's the first one. And the second is, other than yourself, who or what organization did you consult to determine a healthy body weight?
My doctor told me I was at a healthy body weight. I have no idea what that is, but my doctor told me.
I actually would say the same thing. My doctor, tells me I'm at a healthy body weight. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just way too gigantically fat and I need to lose 1,000 pounds. So, I mean, I can't figure that out for myself. When I was 24 years old and I lost all my weight in the program, that was an unusual, well, maybe not unusual, but a powerful experience in that I truly felt like I got an exact number from my higher power. It was the funniest thing. I got to a certain number. It was way, 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 way smaller than I ever imagined in my wildest dreams. And I just got a message, you were at your goal weight. We called it goal weight then. My doctor says I'm at a healthy weight, and I just have to, trust her and focus on 12-step way of life today.
The next question. What do you think the key to long-term abstinence is? Yeah, do you want, yeah. One of you guys should come up and address this.
Well, I've got 9.5 years. That's not especially long term, but how I stay abstinent is I work the steps. I think the steps are the key to long term abstinence, and to use the tools, every tool, and to work with a sponsor who's also abstinent. I think that's the really important things. And I do the same thing today that I did yesterday that worked. Something doesn't work, I have to change it. Something works, I just do it again. Simple.
And I guess I would add, I never was seeking long-term abstinence. I never imagined I would be, quote, long-term abstinent. I just came to OA to, get a person who was bugging me off my back, came in, bunch of weirdos in the room, major, major weirdos in the room, but I just wanted to lose some weight. I did not know that, day would turn into week, and that, again, is still not my goal. My goal is to be abstinent, today. for sure. And long-term abstinence happens as a phenomenon. I don't think it's something that's really my business, because my business is today's abstinence. So.
I just like to say one thing. One of the greatest things that I've ever heard was, and it's really true, is we say one day at a time. I live my life in day-tight compartments. That's what I try to do. So it's like the lady called me at 5 o'clock this morning that had been binging and purging, you know. I said, well, you got today. Today's new. You know, my roommate used to say, you know, in the beginning is the first words of the Bible. You know, not to be biblical or anything. And this is the beginning, you know. Today's the beginning. I'm abstinent today. I have 2 abstinent meals. I got 1 more to go. That's all I need. I'm here at the birthday party. And it doesn't matter how many years I've been in OA or anybody else has. Today is all any of us have. Doesn't matter. 35 years, 5 minutes. That's where it starts, is today.
Does it matter how you work the steps? Does it matter how you work the steps?
What's the question?
No, I'm not going to stand here. Another opinion from Dave. The way I work the steps today is completely, totally different than the way I worked them 20, 30 years ago, because everything changes in that book all the time. They go in there and change the words in my book. Actually, what happens is I change. You know, this time through the steps, I swear I never saw it in there. It says all through there that the grace of God removed the obsession. Grace is such a great thing. It's a free, unmerited, unwarranted gift. Doesn't mean anything to anybody else in the room, what it means to me. I have to receive. Abstinence is not achieved. It's received for me. You know, I don't have to work for it. I receive it. I let God come in, live in me, and give me the strength. It says in the first step that our mission of powerlessness is the first steps to liberation and strength. That's what the first step gives me, strength to overcome this thing. And it comes from God. Wow, I never had that before. Why didn't you tell me that 20 years ago? I wouldn't have had all this trouble. But that's why we keep reading the steps and working, having a sponsor, talking about this stuff, sponsoring people, listening to people's 5th steps. We hear the story over and over again, and that's what gives somebody like me hope. That's it.
Okay. And the last 2 questions are about exercise, so I'm going to put these together. Did or does exercise play a big part in your life? And I need to exercise some. If you never exercised before, how did you get started? How did you or do you keep it up?
I started exercise maybe three months into the program. I just started. I knew when it was time. It's like when it's time, I knew it. It's like, you know what? I got to start walking. So all I did was there's a lake by my house, and it's a park. So I started by walking around the lake once, and it's a little bit more than a mile. Now, I did not think I was going to make it around. I really worried for about a week if I wasn't going to make it around all the way back to my car. But of course I did. It was only about 20 minutes. But that's how and you know, I did that for years. I just walked around that lake for years. I just went from one time around to 2. It's that simple. My exercise today looks like a half an hour on the treadmill, half an hour on the elliptical. One day a week I do a weight circuit at the Y, and the rest of the times I walk the dog. And it's nothing fancy. It's what I can do in a day. So, and that totally worked for me, and I think it's really important. But it's like God told me when was the next step going to be. Like, okay, go twice around, or you need to do this. It's just very reasonable. My exercise was always reasonable. So thanks.
Dave, compulsive overeater. I can tell, my wife is a real alcoholic. She's great. She got a tape, Jane Fonda or somebody, and she says, I'm going to start exercising. So she, this is what people like me do. I came home and how did that go? She says, well, I can't do it anymore. Why? My feet started bleeding, you know? I said, well, I wonder why. She says, well, I don't know. I watched the tape and I did it again. She did it about five times, you know? So it's like everybody that I know that I sponsor that exercises, we way overdo it, you know. What I did was I used to run when I quit smoking in 1981, and I ran until 1986, and then I started eating. I got remarried, and my wife didn't like me going to OA. So, but when I went to the doctor and I said, well, I need to start running again, and he said, no, you don't. You need to walk. And you know, somebody that has got a large ego like mine, a man, to go back, that was just like taking a step backwards, you know. And I walk every day, and I have a friend that had he used to walk with me, and he said, you know, every time we go up this hill, my jaw hurts and my wrists hurt. I said, you need to go to the doctor, you know. So we went to the doctor, and they put a stent in him, you know. And so the doctor told him to walk uphill. So I found a nice route we could walk up hills, and he's never walked with me since then. And but you know, this thought came to me. I said, you know, but I do. And so every day, so I prayed about it. It's just like I used to eat bagels, and I couldn't stop eating them. And so I had to ask God to remove bagels from my food plan, and He did. You know, He removed a lot of things from my food plan. And God gives me the strength and the willingness to get up in the morning, put my stuff on, and walk every day. So I told my doctor, said, well, how far are you walking, Dave? I said, well, I walk for about an hour. She says, you only need to walk for a half an hour. That's all you need to do. Well, I choose to walk a little longer than that. But I got to watch it because I'm compulsive. But, you know, all I need to do is walk. If you just walk around the block to start out, it's a, you know, just a start. You know, starting is halfway finished, you know, to me. So, I don't know. That's my deal.
You know, we have our wonderful new tool, Action Plan, and that is such a good way, I think, to maybe come up with an exercise idea for ourselves, you know, just for our action plan, an action plan of what we're going to do today for movement. You know, for me, it's definitely about health. It's, again, I've said this over and over, it's not about, well, I'm going to go to the gym because I want to lose weight. It's about my health, and I care enough about myself to do what I can to, you know, impact on my health. And, reasonable, which is so hard for us. Reasonable, not extreme. And that's why I say my, you know, do you have the guts to do 3 minutes? You know, the guts to do 3 minutes and walk out the door. To just start somewhere in a reasonable, overture, a reasonable, you know, a step of action. I think, you know, perfectionism is such a huge piece for most of us. If we can't do, you know, do it perfectly, do it extraordinarily, do a spectacular job, then forget it. Don't do it at all. So again, you know, try 3 minutes and see if you can bear the pain of just doing 3 minutes. It's just a way of confronting belief systems and kind of breaking patterns, something reasonable. That's all. It's good enough. Good enough. Good enough.
We have about 5 more minutes. Are there any questions that you didn't get in the Ask It basket? So the question is, have any of you gained weight in abstinence, and if so, What do you do about it, right?
I mean, you know, it's not easy to admit, but over 35 years of life, you know, shit happens. Lots and lots of painful shit happens. And, yeah, I've definitely gained weight in the program, being as cleanly abstinent as I possibly can. And, you know, it's not a crime. Doing the best I can, weight comes on. That's kind of what I was trying to allude to, I guess, before, just in terms of life happens, aging happens, hormones happen, things happen. Medical things happen. Yeah, I've gained weight, and I've gotten larger and smaller, not in huge things, but again, I have. And I don't know, I mean, I just feel like that's part of life in a lot of ways. What have I done about it? Again, just kind of what I said. Wow, okay, my pants aren't fitting me anymore. Hey, I got to take a look at what's going on. So, you know, reassess, reevaluate, and try to start cleaning things up. I mean, number one, get to more meetings is usually, you know, if I'm having issues in any area of my life, go to more meetings. Go to more meetings and talk about it and try to make better decisions. I guess I just don't consider it a horrendous crime where I have to start condemning myself. Because if I start condemning myself, I'm gone from the program. Goodbye, Martha's gone. I've lost, you know, I'd throw 35 years out the window in a second if I get into a condemnation thing. Times I put on weight, I wasn't eating compulsively. But other things happen. Nature takes its course, medical, whatever. Things happen. So.
Hope that doesn't disappoint everyone.
Dave, the folklore reader again. I love chapter 3 in the AA book because that first five paragraphs are incredible to read. And we used to read it at every meeting. We don't do it so much anymore. But it says in there that over any considerable period of time, I will consider myself not an overeater. That's true for me, you know. And by every form of self-deception and experimentation, you know, that's me over 35 years. Doesn't matter. My shame will say, gee, Dave, you should know better than to start eating those things again, you know. So I have to go back to prayer and ask that God to remove the bagels, whatever it is I think I can start eating again. I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't eat certain foods. Now, everybody's different. You may be able to. Some people don't have to weigh and measure their food, I guess. It doesn't matter. It's better for Dave to weigh and measure his food because he is a compulsive overeater. There's a great freedom in that. And that doesn't mean tomorrow I won't have to confront that again. My wife goes to the AA meeting and bakes cookies and all kinds of stuff. Sorry, I mentioned food. And it's all over the place, you know. And our agreement is it goes to the AA meeting and all those people eat it. And they eat it all, you know. And some of them actually have to come back here again, you know. But she doesn't understand. One day she said that. She burnt the six of these little round things. I won't mention the name of what they are. Use your imagination. And she came home and they were gone. And she says, what happened to the burnt things on the stove? I said, well, I ate them. She says, why would you want to eat burnt ones? I had some. She doesn't understand me. I'm a compulsive overeater. That doesn't make any difference to me. My disease can rationalize anything. They're burnt. They're less calories. So you know, I mean, that can happen to folks like me. But I, you know, like I said, you just start in the beginning, you know, and let go of the shame and all the crap that wants to sabotage you from being successful. Now I'm a perfectionist, and I'm never going to be perfect. But you know what? I can be excellent. I can have excellence in my life. Excellence is attainable. Perfection isn't. My opinion, once again.
In closing, no one here is a spokesperson for OA. Everyone here Everyone here spoke only for themselves. Thank you all for joining us, and please join me in thanking our panel members for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Let us all stand, join hands, and say the Serenity Prayer.